Are you ready to celebrate this morning? Yeah. Wow. Well, that's way too convincing.
Yes.
Wasn't even a... It's official. This is official. Do we have a record book? We're going to make this a New Year's resolution for West Highland Baptist Church. We're going to get good at celebrating. If you're rolling your eyes right now, I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. If you're like, seriously, this is how he starts? Yes, I am serious. Can we get excited about Jesus? And I think we have unlimited reasons. Unlimited reasons. So much evidence. So much evidence. There's a song I like. It goes like this. All throughout, I thought for a second, should I sing it? And then that still small voice shouted, no. All throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms, this doesn't fit today. Like, don't you love when it sticks to the trees? Favorite. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness. Love this song. All over my life, I see your promise and fulfillment. All over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. Take a second. Can you sing this? Can you even say this? I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. During one of the craziest years in history. One of the craziest years in history, right? We can agree with that. Every year is kind of crazy. It never goes as planned, but let's just be for real for a second. 2020 was, whoa, it was a lot. But West Highland, I want to go through a few things that you did, that you were a part of in one of the hardest years in the history that we've had. Let me ask you, are you ready to celebrate? Are you ready to celebrate? West Highland, listen, in 2020, we gave away $11,000 to businesses and people in need. We always met our budget. This is awesome. We always had service. We never missed a Sunday. We always had service in person or online or outside. Never missed a Sunday. We had one person that was baptized. We had one person put their faith and trust in Jesus. Man, all of heaven rejoices with that, and you're silent? No. No, that makes me mad. I wasn't prepared for that. Let's try it again. One person put their faith and trust in Jesus last year. Come on. We had two people rededicate their life to Jesus. We reached more people with our services than we've ever reached before, than we could ever have imagined that this reach could happen. Our Christian Ed continued to serve. We gave packages to children. We did Christmas shoe boxes. They were still delivered. Our academy, it grew like they never imagined. Upwards of 15%, they did shoe boxes. They took cookies and gifts to our widows and people that they knew that were in need. We supported our missions and missionaries all year. And we even added one, a kids mission in Pontiac called Powerhouse. We went through the book of Acts together with videos from our staff. Come on, our world changed. Christ hasn't. Right? The media changed. The church hasn't. Our laws changed. The truth hasn't. Our cities changed. Our mission hasn't. We still continued to preach the gospel in 2020. Listen, if you're not standing, you need to get on your feet, West Highland. We need to celebrate. I'm serious. Get on your feet. Let's go. God is still sovereign. Christ is still reigning. This, like, we're not on a golf course. What is this? Yay. No, this is God. The Spirit is still interceding. The church is still, don't stop clapping. The church is still essential. The gospel is still saving. God is still God. Let's go. Come on. If we can't celebrate, we got problems. And this church, this is just what I know and Tom knows. There's so much more in your life. I thought maybe we could celebrate this morning. Let's pray when you're standing. I need to catch my breath. God, I thank you. Even though it's difficult for a lot of us, even though it's out of our comfort zone, God, I pray that we would not be ashamed of you. Ever. And we would be so excited about the things you do in our life. And we'd be just as excited when you do things in others. We thank you for how you've worked in and through this church in so many ways in what a lot would consider the hardest year we've had. Thank you that you're still God. Thank you that you don't change. Your promises are still fulfilled. There's so much evidence all over this church, all over my life, all over our life. We thank you for being an awesome God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to need to get better, West Highland. Some of you had more of a problem that a confetti cannon went off than you were worried about giving praise to Jesus. We got to get better. We got to get better. All right, that was my intro. We're going to be in the book of Philippians today. We're going to be in the book of Philippians. I want to look at these verses. I think it's crucial that at this time of year we take the necessary steps to refocus a little bit, to kind of reset, if you will. And I think these verses, they help keep our perspective. And so in Philippians 8 through 9, it says this. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And then verse 9 says, "Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." Another one of my favorites from last year: "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever." And so you have here the kind of a couple of famous verses, right? It tells us to be thinking, to be fixing our thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable, right, pure, lovely. And then it says, so you think about it, And then in verse 9, it says you got to do it. There's two things here. And spiritual stability is a result of how a person thinks. We see that in Scripture. The Bible leaves no doubt that people's lives are the product of their thoughts. And I think 2020 was hard with our mental game. I say that because I struggled with my mental game in 2020. I had to get creative. I had to do different things that I've never had to do before to keep my mental game where it needed to be. It was a fight. And sometimes we go down those avenues, those roads of thought that aren't healthy. And we know they're not healthy, but we get stuck there. And if you remember Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. The modern way of thinking about this is, where's all my computer people at? There's this G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. Did you know that? Yes, just say yes. So just as a computer's output is dependent on the information that is input, so people's actions are the result of their thinking. A lot of us have been caught in a bad cycle from last year, right? We went to survival mode, which is okay, but we stayed there, and we actually, this is 20, we put it in park. We put it in park, and that's why I think we need to refocus our thoughts, our mind. And these verses in Philippians can help put us back on a healthy path. If you don't already, I would encourage you, underline these in your Bible if you're into that. These two verses, 8 and 9. And so the question becomes, how do you refocus? How do you reset, if that's the word you want to use? And I believe, just from my experience, that the best way to do this, you ready, Jason? It's through a fast. John, give me that slide. I almost had this be our scripture reading that you'd follow along with today. The best way, in my opinion, is through a fast. Now, let's be honest, all right? Let's be honest. It's not the most popular, right? It's not the most popular. It's not even our favorite. I mean, it's not fun. I mean, we just got done with 2 months of literally eating all the stuff, right? All of it. You did the thing where you ate and you're like, I'm so full. I should have dessert, right? And then it's been an hour, where are the chips? Like, we do this. It's 2 months of it. And now he's saying, fast? Yes. I really think it's the most beneficial for the believer. And we have so many excuses. Man, we have so many excuses. You're good at excuses. I'm probably better. But Scripture has so much to say about fasting. So much to say about fasting that we would do well to look at this ancient discipline. And I had a chart topper sermon, Solitude and Silence, a few months ago. Spiritual disciplines. And I use Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline, which I love. And that's where a lot of this fasting content comes from. If you don't have that book, I encourage you to just get this. One of those books that just is always on my shelf. But we would do so well to look at this ancient discipline. The list of who fasted reads like a who's who of Scripture. Right? Moses, David, Elijah, Daniel, Paul, Esther, Jesus, and many other great Christians throughout history. They fasted and witnessed to its value And among them, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards. I could go on, but you don't need that. But the question might be, what is fasting? What is fasting? And I define it like this. Throughout Scripture, fasting refers to abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Spiritual purposes. Biblical fasting always centers on spiritual purposes. Do we have to? Do we? I mean, that's a great question, right? Do we have to? Do we have to? Jesus states, when you fast, in Matthew 6, 16, he seems to make an assumption that people will fast and is giving instruction on how to do it properly. We also have to realize that these words do not constitute a command. And so although Jesus does not say, if you fast, neither does he say, you must fast. His word, very simply, when you fast. And Jesus both upheld the discipline of fasting and anticipated that his followers would do it. More than any other discipline, more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. You want to reset, you want to refocus. That's why I'm saying start with a fast. Reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit for the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus. We cover up what is inside us with food and other good things. But in fasting, these things surface. Yes, doesn't that sound like, and you thought fasting was boring. Oh no, my friends. If pride controls us, it will be revealed almost immediately. David writes in Psalm 69:10, I humbled my soul when fasting. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife, fear. If they're within us, they will surface during fasting. At first, this is what's going to happen. We'll rationalize that our anger is due to our hunger. And that's where we get the Greek word hangry. Then we will, it's just right there. It's too easy. Then we will realize that we're angry because the spirit of anger is within us. And we can rejoice in this knowledge because we know that healing is available through the power of Jesus, which, by the way, we just celebrated. So fasting reminds us, it's tough because I love food. Right? Yeah, I mean, I love it. But fasting reminds us that we are sustained by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what it reminds us. Food does not sustain us. God sustains us in Christ. Colossians 1:17, all things hold together. And therefore, in experiences of fasting, we're not so much abstaining from food as we are feasting on the Word of God. Fasting is feasting. When the disciples brought lunch to Jesus in John 4, if you remember that story, assuming that he would be starving, he declared this, I have food to eat, which you do not know. My food is to do the will of God who sent me and to accomplish his work. And this was not a clever metaphor, but it was a genuine reality. Jesus was in fact being nourished and sustained by the power of God. That is the reason for his counsel on fasting in Matthew 6. We're told not to act miserable when we're fasting, right? We're not to go, oh, give me extra grace today. I didn't have lunch. No. We're told, it's like my house, 10 minutes after dinner, right? I'm starving! But we're told not to act miserable when fasting because we are not miserable, right? I love this. We are not miserable. We are feeding on God. And just like the Israelites who were sustained in the wilderness by the miraculous manna from heaven, we are sustained by the Word of God. Fasting helps keep our balance in life. How easily we begin to allow non-essentials to take precedence in our lives. How quickly we crave things we don't need until we are enslaved by them. Fasting can bring breakthrough. Listen, fasting can bring breakthrough in the spiritual realm that will never happen in any other way. It is a means of God's grace and blessing that should not be neglected any longer. You want to start the year right? It's not easy. In any year, it's not easy. But if you start with a fast, I promise you it'll be worth it. You want to hear from God? Fast. You want an answer from God? Fast. I got lots more, so buckle up. You want to be closer to God? Fast. You want to deepen your relationship with God? You'll never guess what I'm going to recommend. Fast. You want to reconnect with God? Fast. You want to refocus on God? Fast. You have an important decision to make. Help me out. Fast. Oh, good. Fast. I want to encourage you to fast. Before I asked Laura to marry me, I did it a little bit earlier than I had originally planned. My life, you know, my dad was sick and he had cancer, and so I wanted my dad to know like who I was going to marry, who my wife was going to be. And so Laura and I had talked about, I mean, it was basically, she brought it up all the time, like, are you going to ask me to marry you? I was like, okay, settle down. But, oh boy. But one of the things we agreed to do was before I asked her, we decided we're gonna fast and we're going to pray for a period of time. And we're going to be super focused on and making sure we hear clear from God on what He wants us to do. Man, I've never fasted so hard in my life, right? When it came to, and I've never prayed, so I was in my Bible. I was highlighting everything, right? I was praying like never before. It was super clear to me. Super clear to me. I mean, you've met Laura, right? Like, yes, she's the one. Yes, she's the one. I kept hearing, yes, she's the one. Laura had a different experience. It wasn't the most clear to her until she came into my house at school and she opened the door and saw me. I'm telling you her side of the story. Once she saw me after the fast, she said she had this peace that came over her, and she knew it was the right thing to do. There's so much power in fasting. I encourage you to fast as an individual, maybe as a family. I encourage you to fast. Decide what your spiritual purpose is and do it. It can be food. You can fast from food, right? We see that all over Scripture. It can be a lot of different things. It can be movies. It can be smoking or drinking or video games. Is that real to anybody in here? Or whatever. It can be however long you decide. Whatever you're fasting from, replace that thing with God, with prayer. So you almost can't say fasting without saying prayer. Fasting and prayer, they go together. I have on my notes, they go together like, and I just couldn't think of anything. Maybe you can, horse and carriage, did anyone say that? But they go together. Replace that thing you're fasting from with God, with prayer, reading your Bible. Maybe it's worship music, but decide and stick with it. I would say start small, but I'm telling you, there's power in fasting. There's power in fasting. All the times I've fasted in my life, I've never regretted it. It's always been hard to start, right? It's always been hard to say, oh yeah, this is what I need. That part's been hard, but once I've been doing it, you see, it has a way of removing all the junk, and the joy of fasting is it reveals so much about us, so much about us. So I want to give you, I just want to give you like 30 seconds. Just ask God, is this what I need to do? And if so, God, make it clear. Make it clear to me right now of what my spiritual purpose is. Maybe you've been wanting an answer from God. I'd encourage you to fast. Maybe you've just been struggling lately. You just had this cloud over you. I would encourage you to fast, to seek God, to ask for some direction, for an answer. Maybe you're like, you know what? I've been a mess for far too long. I've been going through the motions far too long, God. Start with a fast. Start with a fast. I think there's so much power with a fast. If you have your cup and your bread, I want to read Hebrews, a couple verses. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. And just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it, and in comparison with what you're going through, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. If you remove the top section, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." God, I thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, the joy of coming to the table to simply remember what you have done, your broken body, your blood for us, forgiveness of sins for us. God, we're grateful. We thank you for this cup, for this bread. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's start the year right. Let's get better at celebrating what God has done. And I think that celebration starts with what we just did, with what he's done for you and me. And from that, it trickles out into everything we do, into how we talk, how we live, all of it. It affects all of it. Let's get better, West Highland, at celebrating this God who is madly in love with us. God, we thank you again for being so good. Thank you for this evidence that's all over our life and this church. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen.